One small step for man. One giant leap for mankind. They were the words that Neil Armstrong spoke as he stepped onto the unfamiliar surface of the moon back in 1969. Can't say I was too aware at that time, being 2 years old, of exactly what he said, but I've certainly studied them and since recognised the impact that they had on the bigger picture of human history. In our lives as followers of Jesus, though, the small steps that we take towards spiritual growth can actually be giant leaps in God's bigger picture purposes. And none more so than what we focus on today, the stepping stone of taking a risk as followers of Jesus. Risk taking that involves a step beyond the familiar does not come naturally to most of us. And yet, when you look at the Bible, God time and time through the Bible called his followers to take steps of faith beyond their comfort zone. There are countless examples weaved right through the Bible, but from Noah being called to build an ark when it wasn't even raining, to Peter, as in that preview clip I spoke about, being called to get out of the boat and walk on water. Story after story of spiritual growth as God's people stepped out in faith. But it's actually a parable that Jesus tells that I want to take you to this morning to see how even small steps of risk-taking in our lives are actually giant leaps, not only for our faith, but for God's bigger picture purposes. And the parable of the talents, or the parable of the bags of gold, is often viewed simply as being just about the abilities or the gifts or the financial resources that God gives us and the way that we steward and use those. But it's actually about much more than that. It's actually not really about that. That's a very simplistic, literal reading of it. There's actually, like with most of the parables that Jesus tells, there's a deeper and there's a more significant layer to it. Essentially, this parable is a lesson in investing from Jesus. Now, Gary Stone could give us a lesson in investing in the stock market. And others of you who work in the financial industry could give us lessons when it comes to investing in your area of focus. But what is Jesus' focus when it comes to investing? His focus is the kingdom of God. This parable, at the heart of it, is about investing in God's kingdom work. How do we know that? Because it says it. Matthew chapter 25, in verse... There are three parables across the chapter, and at the start of the chapter, in verse 1, it says, "At this time the kingdom of heaven will be like." And then Jesus tells the first parable, and then he comes to verse 14, and the start of the second parable that Shirley read to us, and Jesus says, "Again, it will be like." And he begins to tell this parable. This parable essentially is about investing in God's kingdom work. So what do we learn? What do we learn from this parable? Well, three things I want to particularly highlight, and then two more really important insights that are here. What do we learn? The first thing we need to think about is God entrusts us with what? What is it that God entrusts us with? Verse 14 and 15, we read, "It is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and he entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey." So this man who was going on a journey, some versions say entrusted his wealth to them, some say entrusted his property to them, but essentially what he's giving to them, or what he's entrusting to them, is the things that belong to him. Years ago, our family went on a journey across Australia. As part of my long service leave, we went for 2 or 3 months across Western Australia and South Australia and through the Murray and up through New South Wales. And while we were away, what did we do? We entrusted our property back home to a couple who house sat for us. Basically, they had access to everything that was ours while we were away. We entrusted it to them. Here in this parable, it's not a talent as we might at first understand it being entrusted to the servants, a gift or ability. It's not simply financial resources being entrusted to them. It's not a gift for them to control. But what is it? It's an investment which the owner of this property is making in his servants. Now, a few important things to notice here. These servants didn't seek out what was entrusted to them. They didn't go up and knock on the master's door and say, "Hey, I'd like you. Can we do this deal? I'd like you to entrust this to me." No, that didn't happen. They didn't seek it out. It was simply something that the master brought before them. And neither did they have any say in what was entrusted to them, whether it be one or two or five talents or bags of gold. They were only responsible for being good stewards of what was put before them. So the takeaway for us, what's the point of Jesus' parable in terms of what he entrusts with us? What God entrusts with us are kingdom opportunities. That's the whole point of this parable. Kingdom opportunities that we don't seek out, but that God chooses to bring before us and entrust us with. There's a who's mishap midstream. There we go. Quick management. Kingdom opportunities aren't things that we can pick and choose, but they are things that God brings before us. They are things that God entrusts us with as his investment in us. Individually, what might kingdom opportunities look like? They might be the people that God brings across your path to show and share his love with. We had just this week in our situation, we had some neighbours who live in our court, and there was a real crisis going on for them. And they came to us, and we didn't seek them out, but they came to us and basically said, "Help." Kingdom opportunity to show God's love and share God's love. We were in the midst of a lot of other stuff going on, but we had to recognize that this was an opportunity that God had brought before us and respond in a way that showed and shared his love. Kingdom opportunities might be the causes that God brings our way that might reflect his heart of care and his heart of compassion for all people. What about together as a church? Well, together as a church, God has brought this opportunity before us to further his kingdom through ministry and mission in the proposed merge with Mordialloc Baptist. It's not something, let me be clear about this, this is not something we as a church have sought after. It's not something we as a church should control. But it is something God has brought before us for a reason, as a part of his kingdom purposes, as you look through the lens of this parable. And the primary lens that we as your leaders are looking at this opportunity through, and that we encourage you to look at it through, is in what ways could this advance God's kingdom? In what ways could this help people, more people, to find and follow Jesus across our wider community? God entrusts us with what? Kingdom opportunities. But then secondly, God expects us to do what? Let's read, come back to this parable, verse 16 through to 18. The man who had received five bags of gold, or five talents, as a lot of versions put it, went out at once, and he put his money to work, and he gained five bags more. So also the one with two bags gained two more. But the man who'd received one bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money or property. Two of them did what? They went out at once, it says, and they took a risk. They went and invested what they'd been entrusted with. They didn't just play it safe. They responded to the opportunity before them in a way that invested in growing what they'd been entrusted with. And what did the master think of them when he returned? Well, if we read on into verses 19 and 23, through to 23, after a long time, the master returned and he settled accounts with them. The man who'd received five brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five. See, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And we see the same happening with the man with two. Again, the similar response, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, wasn't saying well done, good and faithful because they just kept what was there. No, he was saying well done, good and faithful because they'd grown it. They'd done something with it. They'd invested in God's kingdom with it. That this is a really significant thing, because when you contrast this, the master is commending what they'd done as showing that they were good stewards. But what about the other man who just played it safe and who just sought for things to be just as they were and had been? Verse 18, it says he dug a hole in the ground and he hid his master's money. Was the master pleased with him? Well, what do we read? We read the man who'd received one came, and we'll come back to exactly what he said, but he said, I went and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to me. It belongs to you. His master did not commend him. Quite the opposite. He condemns him. He condemns him. He wasn't pleased with him at all. And it wasn't because of what he'd done, but it was because of what he'd not done with what had been entrusted to him. God expects us not just to play it safe with what he entrusts to us when it comes to his kingdom work, but God expects us to be people who step out in faith, to be people who are willing to step out in faith to multiply God's kingdom instead of just holding on to things as they are, or instead of just hoarding things that we've already got. God's church is bigger than our church. God's kingdom is bigger than our kingdom. And he calls us to step out in faith, to take a risk as a part of what he's already entrusted us with for the sake of growing his kingdom. But often, as I said in the preview clip, fear or the familiar or what I would call a futile search for complete certainty, which never comes, can stop us from stepping out in faith as God calls us to. With Peter, when he was in the boat there and Jesus was calling him to come to him, was there complete certainty? Of course there wasn't. Peter had to step out in faith, trusting God. And as we invest in God's kingdom work here and potentially in this proposed next season of life and ministry as a church, it's going to need us to do what Isaiah called God's people long ago to do in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2. Where we read, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide, God says. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. God calls us, just as he called his people long ago. And as you see it right through the Bible, he calls us to enlarge our vision, to stretch the scope of our ministry, to see God's work replanted, rebirthed, regenerated, regrown. Not just here, but in Mordialloc potentially. It's going to need some of us to commit to put down some roots there for a season perhaps, as an infusion of new life and as an infusion of new growth under God for the sake of his kingdom. It's going to need us to be focused on God's bigger picture, not just his church in this place. His church in this place is a part of God's bigger picture. God entrusts us with kingdom opportunities. He expects us to invest in his kingdom work. And thirdly, he enables us to experience what? When we read here what went on in this parable, we read that he enables us to experience growth. Growth happened for these first two servants. This third servant, growth didn't happen. Why didn't growth happen? Because he buried what he had. This third servant probably thought he was doing the right thing. He thought, I'm being a good steward. I'm keeping watch over what has been entrusted to me. But his master expected more than that. Think about it in a financial sense. If your financial investment or your super just stays as it is, are you happy with that? Sometimes when things are crashing, yeah, we're pretty happy if they stay as they are. But generally speaking, of course we're not. We expect growth. And the same is true with what God expects of us. He calls us to growth in our own lives personally and he calls us to be a part of growth in his kingdom purposes. And growth only comes from stepping out. Growth does not come from oh, here we go. Reset. Got to make a joke of it. Nothing I can do. Growth does not come from just staying where we are. Growth does not come from just being comfortable and safe. Growth comes from stepping out in faith, trusting God. The interesting thing in this parable is that we will be accountable to God. We will be accountable before God one day. Who is the master in this parable? The master is our master. The master is our God. And we'll be accountable before God one day for what we've done with the kingdom opportunities that he entrusts us with. Just like the servants were accountable to their master when he returned. I wonder, which of these servants will I be? Which of these servants will you be? Which of these servants will we be as a church when Jesus returns and we are asked to give an account of what we've done with the kingdom opportunities he's given us? If we've just played it safe, or if we've just, like the third servant here, tried to bury things as they are, it's clear from this parable that we're more likely to be condemned, not commended. But if we're willing to take risks for the sake of the kingdom, it's clear that we're more likely to be commended. The work of growth is not our work. The work of growth is God's. And there are no guarantees other than this, that God is with us. And Matthew 28, verse 20, that verse that we often go to, which reminds us that surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. It's a much quoted verse, a much loved verse. But if you understand the context of that verse, what's it speaking about when it says, surely I am with you always to the very end of this age? This promise is to do with God being with us, not in our comfort zone when all is familiar, but this promise is to do with God being with us when we're stepping out of our comfort zone and beyond the familiar in God's kingdom work. That's exactly what Jesus was calling his disciples to in Matthew 28. And it finishes with that guarantee of him being with them. Two final insights about what is needed in our lives if we are going to take risks in investing in God's kingdom. Number one, we need to have a confident trust in our master's goodness. This is a big reason why the unfaithful steward, who just kept things as they were, couldn't move out of his comfort zone for the sake of God's kingdom. Here they go again. Verse 24 and 25, what do we read? We read that in the midst of what he was giving his response to the master, verse 24 and 25, the man who'd received one said, Master, I know that you are a hard man. You are harvesting where you have not sown, and you are gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His understanding of his master was all wrong. Contrast that with the other servants. They knew that their master was good and trustworthy, and they had a freedom and a confidence in taking risks for the master's sake. A confident trust in the character of God, particularly his goodness and his trustworthiness, means that we can step out in faith, knowing that God never lets us down as we fix our eyes on him, as we follow his leading, as we invest in his kingdom work. But the other interesting thing here is that in verse 19 to 23, it describes when these two servants come back, having multiplied what they were entrusted with. This is what the master says to them: come and share your master's happiness. We need a desire to see the master's joy or happiness shared. And that was the response here of the master's response to growth in his kingdom work. It was one of joy. But he also wanted others to share in that joy. Our motivation for what we do,
for the sake of God's kingdom should be what? To see others share in his joy. I close with the prayer of Sir Francis Drake from long ago, that we too need to make our prayer. So I invite you to bow your heads as I lead you in a prayer from history of Sir Francis Drake. Let's pray. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves. Disturb us when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little. Disturb us when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas where storms will show your mastery, where even losing sight of land at times, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes, to push back the future that you have for us in strength, courage, faith, hope, and love. This we ask in the name of our captain, who is Jesus Christ. Amen.